This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa bihi nasta'in wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala afdalil khalqi ajma'in nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. We always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him for everything that He has bestowed upon us. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of them, and may Allah bless every one of us as well. My brothers and sisters, whenever we have an important meeting, what happens is we make sure we take pride in our dress. We make sure that we are smelling good. We make sure that we are looking good. And then we arrive at our meeting, depending on who exactly we are meeting, in a very, very presentable way. Wouldn't you agree that the most important meeting ever is the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The most important communication is that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wouldn't it be wrong for us to come for Salatul Fajr without having dressed appropriately? Wouldn't it be wrong for us to fulfill Salah even in our own homes on the Musalla that we have, known as a Sajjada, that we may have in the house, without being dressed appropriately? Brothers and sisters, a narration in Sahih Muslim and Sunan al-Nasa'i by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, at the time of the Mushrikeen, just in the pre-Islamic time, the women used to make tawaf of the Kaaba while they were naked. And the reason they did this, they just had a little piece of skin, perhaps animal skin, in the front and the back, just to cover the basics. But they did it because they wanted to get their du'as answered. So they thought, if we remove our clothes, perhaps we will show that we are actually in desperate need of something. However, that was abolished by the Quran. In fact, not only abolished, but it was considered something very, very bad and taboo. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verse number 31 of Surah Al-A'raf. Ya bani Adam, khudu zinatakum 'inda kulli masjid wa kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. O children of Adam, take pride in your dress. Dress appropriately. Adorn with your beauty when it comes to your visit of the house of Allah, or the place of worship, the place where you are going to put your head on the ground for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you want to engage in prayer, make sure you've taken some pride in your dress. And Allah says, eat and drink and do not be wasteful, for indeed Allah does not like those who are wasteful. My brothers and sisters, a very important lesson to be learnt. We come to the masjid, let's make sure that we dress appropriately, we look good, and at the same time we smell good, we are clean, we look presentable. Wallahi, it is much more important than the meeting you may have with a prime minister or a president or a CEO of a top company. Then we have the story that is made mention of in Tafsir al-Tabari by Qatada rahimahullah. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed at the very beginning to get up on Mount Safa and to call the people of Quraysh, the various clans, the leaders of the clans and the cronies, and to address them from Mount Safa. So he got up to Mount Safa, he called them, everybody came. The reason they all came is they knew him as a good man, an honest man, the trustworthy, the most, for example, honest, the one who was the best of the lot, the one who did not speak a lie, the one who was really high in rank and so on. They knew him as a good man. When he gathered them, I have something very important to tell you, they all came. So then he gathered up on Mount Safa and he asked them a question. He says, O people of Quraysh, if I were to tell you that behind me on this side of the hill is an army that is ready to attack you, would you believe what I have to say? They said, yes, we've never known you to tell a lie. We would immediately believe. He says, so my people, I am here warning you of a severe punishment. Worship Allah and Allah alone. Quit your idols and quit your bad ways and habits. Immediately they became angry, they became upset. I'm sure you've heard of Abu Lahab and what he said. He said, woe be to you, destruction be to you, O Muhammad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. These are bad statements that were made mention of and repeated in the Quran for us to take lesson from. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the statements that the people of Quraysh said. They said, this man is a madman and this man is possessed. Don't listen to him. Moments ago, he was the best of the lot. He was the top. He was the most trustworthy. Just because of one thing that did not suit them, one thing that was the honest, brutal truth, they did not want it. Immediately they said, he's a bad man. Let's ask ourselves, how many of us, we have friends, we have family members, we have people close to us. When they tell us one thing that is really correct, subhanAllah, we tend to hate them. We dislike them. I don't want. The reason is, why are you telling me this? You're supposed to be my friend. I'm not supposed to be listening to this from you. Well, if you're a true friend, my brothers and sisters, if you're a faithful spouse, you will be honest. You will correct your spouse even if he or she happens to feel hurt about it. May Allah help us and grant us a lesson from this beautiful verse. Verse number 184 of Surah Al-A'raf.
أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا مَا بِصَاحِبِهِمْ مِنْ جِنَّةٍ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ
Do they not ponder? Do they not think? Their companion is not a possessed person or a madman. Not at all. In fact, he is a plain warner. He's just come to warn them. One of the most powerful ways of understanding the truthfulness of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is he never ever called towards himself. Not once. He always called towards Allah. If he was a madman, if he was after position or power or anything else, he would have blown his own trumpet to say, everyone, worship me. I'm the big boss. I'm the man. I'm the greatest. I am this. Not once did he speak about himself. But rather, he always said, worship the one who made you. Worship Allah alone. I am only a messenger. I have come to convey the message and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beautiful lesson. Then there is a story made mention of by a great mufassir known as Mujahid, rahimahullah. And although some of the scholars of tafsir have said that the hadith or this narration may not be absolutely authentic, but it is interesting to make mention of it because of the lesson we want to draw from it. It is reported that Adam, alayhi salam, and it is also in another narration just making mention generally of man, that when he did not have a child initially, when his wife could not conceive, every time she conceived and miscarried, conceived and miscarried, conceived and miscarried. This became hurtful. Ask those who don't have children. May Allah bless you with children. Ameen. It's very hurtful. Once it hurts you. A second miscarriage, it hurts you again. You try for a child, as they say, and it just doesn't come. 5 years have passed, 10 years have passed, 15 years have passed. Sometimes by a miracle, it comes 20 years later. I know of a case that did happen 18 years later by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even beyond, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Remember this. But there is a powerful lesson. It is common that this would hurt us. We are human beings. We want goodness. We want children. We don't realize children are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he knows it's not good for you, he won't give it to you. When he knows perhaps you might lose your child in a nasty accident at an early age and that might be very depressing for you, he says, I will do you a favor, I won't even give you the child in the first place, and you be happy. Subhanallah. That's the gift of Allah. Your Jannah and your paradise is to be happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this narration, it says that there came a time when Shaitan got involved. After two or three miscarriages, Shaitan says, look, if you involve me in this picture, then you will definitely not miscarry. So what was Shaitan's comment? He says, you name the child after me. Astaghfirullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness. So according to the narration, and as I said, some of the scholars have said it's a slightly weak narration, but the truth is we do fall for these type of things in desperation. When a person is desperate, they go to the sangomas, they go to the witch doctors, they go to the fortune tellers out of desperation, not realizing that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man ata arrafan aw kahinan fasaddaqahu bima akhbar faqad kafara bima unzila ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Whoever goes to a fortune teller, someone who claims to know the unseen and believes them, they have disbelieved in what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. Be careful, my brothers and sisters. No matter how pious and religious, people who claim to know the unseen appear, they are wrong. They are making a very big mistake.
It's impossible. It was only Jibreel alayhi salam who used to come with revelation of the unseen to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by virtue of which he knew that much of the unseen. Subhanallah. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But for you and me and those around us, no Jibreel alayhi salam comes. It is guesswork. When someone tells you your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law, your mother-in-law has done magic on you, remember they are absolutely innocent, my brothers and sisters. No matter what type of signs they want to show you, these people are innocent. It is us who are guilty. We are actually minimizing, if not eradicating, the chances of our entry into paradise. I'd rather bear sabr, believing that it was a test from Allah, than to accuse an innocent person because of someone who might have appeared to be religious, who might have told us a name of a person, when we know that Jibreel alayhi salam did not come to them, and we know that it's impossible for them to have known the unseen, because Allamul Ghuyub, the knower of the unseen, is only Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Remember this, my brothers and sisters. When Shaitan got involved and he said, name the child after me, it is reported that then the child held and the child was born, and it was a test from Allah. They repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because obviously it was something that was unacceptable. The repentance came immediately, but the lesson is for us all. Listen to these verses, 189 to 191 of Surah Al-A'raf, and I'd like to make mention of the last part of the verse. Allah says, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا جَعَلَا لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. You know, when people want children, Allah says, they call out to Allah. They call out to Allah and they say, oh Allah, if you bless us with a beautiful child, we will be from amongst the truly thankful. We will thank you. You know, we read a lot of salah when we have problem. We engage in tahajjud. We cry. We give out sadaqah and charity. We become good people, pious people. Once what we want has come, we forget everything. It's gone. Like the child is now born, we don't even know. The first thing playing in the ears of the child, music, Allahu Akbar, instead of the adhan, perhaps. The first thing that we buy for the child, dirty toys. Toys that are full of satanic lyrics and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. It's becoming more and more difficult even to buy proper clothing for children today. May Allah help us dress our girls and boys in the best possible manner, so that we as parents are not held responsible on the day of judgment for something the child may have done in terms of an error. May Allah help us all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then when we blessed them with a pious child, we found them associating partners with Allah. But Allah is above all of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson. Brothers and sisters, when you don't have children, it is definitely permissible to do whatever you can in terms of medicine, in terms of trying, in terms of dua, but do not cross the limits of Allah. Do not do that which is unacceptable Islamically. Don't go and do superstitious items. People tell you to cut 3 frogs and to roast their legs and to push them into the chimney, and we end up doing it, and then they say you wait until it becomes coal, you gather a little bit of that smoke and you put it into your dress. Wallahi, this is what they say. And you find foolish people who read 5 salah a day, they happen to be doing these things, believing that I might get a child. No, Allah does not want you to have a child. Don't do haram. My brothers and sisters, continue making dua and ask Allah. You may want to try, like I said, according to medicine and so on. Alhamdulillah. But don't do something haram. The same applies when it comes to your job. The same applies when it comes to your marriage. Never ever go into that which is unacceptable. Continue making dua and continue trying in a positive way. Let's move on. Verse number 204 of Surah Al-A'raf. Tafsir al-Tabari and Ibn Abi Hatim, they make mention of a narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says, the people used to speak during salah. I spoke of this a few days ago, where I said, initially you were allowed to talk in salah. You see, when people were reading salah, one would be permitted to whisper to the other for some form of necessity and so on. Then it became prohibited. But then a new problem arose. What was it? When the imam is reading, the people are reading aloud after him. So they are disturbing him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read Quran, and they used to repeat the verse aloud after him. So it was creating some disturbance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. When the Quran is being read, when the Quran is being recited, then listen very carefully, remain silent, listen attentively in order that you may achieve the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want mercy of Allah? Simple. When the Quran is being read, all you need to do, listen attentively, concentrate, try and concentrate on the meaning, and you will achieve the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we move on to another surah, Suratul Anfal. Suratul Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of so many matters of war and so many matters that occurred between the Muslimin and the people of Quraysh. You and I know, the people of Quraysh drove the Muslims out of Mecca. They stole their property, they killed quite a few of them, they prepared armies in order to come and attack them in Medina Munawwara. Hence the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of the Trench, they all happened closer to Medina Munawwara. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand this history. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of something very interesting. Al-Wahidi makes mention of it. Al-Tabarani has made mention of it in his famous book of hadith known as Al-Kabir. And the narration is of Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu. And most of the scholars of tafsir have made mention of this narration. They say the Battle of Badr started off with a duel. There were these sword fighters who fought. And the Prophet ﷺ, when the war began, he took one handful of dust. He read a dua and he threw it. And a sound was heard from the skies. And this dust went, it dispersed into every eye of every single one of the mushrikeen of the other side. They all happened to be rubbing their eyes at exactly the same time. This was a miracle of Muhammad ﷺ. It is reported that this happened more than once. It happened once before at the time when he made the hijrah, when he walked out of his house, according to one narration. But here again, the Battle of Badr, when the war was about to begin, and he took this dust and bismillah, and it went into all the eyes, they were all rubbing the eyes. If you are rubbing your eyes right now, how would you know that the rest of the masjid is also rubbing their eyes? Because you are busy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand this miracle. So Allah is telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, when the day you threw, the time that you threw the dust, it was not you actually throwing, but we are the ones who threw. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. It is not you who threw, when you actually threw the dust, it is Allah who threw it. Subhanallah. And this is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum say, we heard a sound from the skies. It was amazing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the beautiful touch of the miracles of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. There is no point whatsoever to keep on harping on the miracles when these miracles have not touched your heart, when they have not changed you, they have not moved you. What's the point of saying Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest of all messengers when you don't even read your salah, you don't even want to look like him, you don't even want to adopt what he has taught? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Verse number 5 of the same surah, that verse was verse number 17. I'm actually going back to verse number 5. Tafsir al-Tabari and Ibn Abi Hatim, they make mention of a narration of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, as well as that of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. They say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard about the caravan of Abu Sufyan coming from Ash-Sham and coming through back to Makkatul Mukarramah, close to Medina. So he decided to gather a few people and he decided to tell them, let's go. This caravan of a few people, we will waylay them and we will take the caravan because it belongs to us. How did it belong to them? The wealth that was being used by Abu Sufyan to do his business and to take the caravans to go up to Ash-Sham was actually the usurped wealth of the Muslims who were driven out of Mecca. They were now in Medina. All their money and their wealth had been stolen. These people gathered the wealth and they now started doing business to improve the economy of Mecca. So it was only correct that now you are hearing, they took my money, they went to Ash-Sham, they're coming back with these containers. These containers belong to me, I need to go out and collect them. Nothing wrong. So the ruling was passed that it's permissible and you go. So the Prophet ﷺ tells his people, this is Abu Sufyan coming. Let's go. Let's go and get all our wealth. So they decided to move. 313 of them, they went. And what happened? Something very, very amazing. Abu Sufyan got wind of this. And he moved, he changed his course, and he went, and he sent message to the people of Mecca. And the people of Mecca gathered 1,000 people, and they decided to come. And they marched to Badr, and the Prophet ﷺ heard about this. And so he tells his people, look, we don't have much weaponry. We didn't come in order to fight a whole army. We only came to get a caravan. But what is your people's plan? We are right here near Badr. Should we go to Badr or should we go back to Medina? So they were still discussing, and as they are talking, Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad says, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are not going to tell you what the people of Musa, Moses may peace be upon him, told him. What did they say?
فَذْهَبَ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَهُنَا قَاعِدُونَ
The people of Musa alayhi salam told Musa alayhi salam, you and your Rabb, the two of you go and fight. We are sitting back here. Once you win and everything is okay, call us, we'll come. Astaghfirullah. Call us, we will come. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say that. They said, go with your Rabb and we are with you. Subhanallah. We are with you. Never mind, we are coming. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِن بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَكَارِهُونَ
In that way, Allah drove the mu'mineen out of their houses. Allah took you out of Medina, going towards Abu Sufyan, not knowing that you are actually going to end up in Badr and fight a huge army. But that was Allah's plan, even though some of you may not have actually wanted to do that. Some of them had just gone. They did not want to fight. But at the end of the day, they went because it was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and it was his encouragement. So this was beautiful. What happens, my brothers and sisters, in our lives? Sometimes we plan something. We plan a small business deal. It turns out so good that a whole lifelong of sustenance has now opened. But our plan was small. That was Allah's plan. And sometimes we plan something small and something huge happens in terms of loss. That was also Allah's plan. So remember, this is all Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship Him. Life is a test. One day for you and one day against you. It can never ever be that every day is a day of profit. One day profit, one day loss. You have to go through these type of tests. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Verse number 9. Now they had got to Badr. And in Badr, 1,000 mushrikeen, 313 muslimin. Hadith, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, reported by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He says, on that day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the mushrikeen, he saw 1,000. He looked at the muslimin, he saw very few. 313. And he started making dua to Allah. He says, oh Allah, you promised me, fulfill your promise. Oh Allah, you promised me, fulfill your promise. And he made so much dua that it is reported Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu saw him raise his hands. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hands. And he raised his hands high and he continued making dua. You know what he said? Oh Allah, these are all of us. 313. If you want not to be worshipped again, we can all be destroyed. But Ya Allah, you have promised me, fulfill your promise. He knew it's impossible for us to actually be destroyed because the mission is only commencing. So what was the plan here? It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. He made so much of dua that the top of his cover, his shoulder cover, had fallen down. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu noticed that it didn't stop him. You know, today if a piece of your clothing falls and you're making dua, you'll probably pick it up quickly, put it back and carry on. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so dedicated in his dua, he didn't stop. He continued. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu picks it up and he put it on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, oh messenger, I am sure and convinced that Allah will give you what He has promised you. And at that moment, Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him with the most powerful news of the day of Badr. What was that news? You go to Badr today, you will notice a mount with a totally different color of sand. Wallahi, those of you who've been there, you'll notice the sand and the rocks are different. One area, totally different. It's more like white sand, very light in color. Listen to the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 9 of Surah Al-Anfal,
إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ
When you were calling out in desperation to Allah, and Allah responded to you. With what?
أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ
That I am sending help to you. 1,000 of my angels are coming to fight with you. And that mount is known as Jabalul Malaika. To this day, you go to Badr and you ask them, where is Jabalul Malaika? Where is the mount where the angels came down? They will show you, there it is. Wallahi, your hair will stand because of the color of the sand there. It's a reality. Beautiful, my brothers and sisters. Subhanallah. So this is the help of Allah. The reason I make mention of this, my brothers and sisters, the help of Allah will come. Look, they were faced with the enemy. The crunch was about to happen. And Allah says, here's your help. So don't lose hope. Sometimes we feel it's the end of the road. We want to throw in the towel. Allah says, no, you bear patience. You know, even the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of creation, they were very patient. They bore a lot of patience. How much of patience are we bearing? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us help. Then Sunan al-Nasa'i and Mustadrak of Al-Imam Hakim, hadith of Abdullah ibn Tha'laba. He says that Abu Jahl made a dua on the day of Badr, the eve of Badr. He made a dua. What was the dua? You know, they used to call out to Allah as well. The mushriks, they were polytheists, which means they associated partners with Allah. They worshipped their idols, but they also sometimes worshipped Allah when it suited them, when they had a huge problem. For example, when they were on the oceans, they knew that now my stones and my sticks and my idols are not going to help me. So they used to say, Allah, oh Allah, help us. So on this day of war, Abu Jahl said, oh Allah, grant victory to the one who is right. Grant victory to the one who is correct, because he was convinced he's right. Grant victory to the one who is the better of the two. That's what he's saying. Imagine what type of a beautiful dua, isn't it? Give victory to the one who's the better of the two. They accused Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of breaking family relations. So he says, oh Allah, grant victory to the one who has maintained family ties and destroy the one who breaks the family ties. But they don't know. The family ties were not broken. It was the kuffar of Quraysh who did not want to have anything to do with the Muslimin. So when the battle was over and the kuffar had lost, Abu Jahl was now gone. In fact, one narration makes mention of An-Nadr ibn al-Harith being the one who made this dua. But we will stick to the common narration, which says it was Abu Jahl. And Allah revealed verse number 19. إِن تَسْتَفْتِحُوا فَقَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْفَتْحُ. If you are making dua for the victory of the one who's right, well, victory came. Subhanallah. Now why don't you accept it? You see, we say, oh Allah, grant victory to the one who is right. So Allah is saying, إِن تَسْتَفْتِحُوا, you're making dua that, oh Allah, give victory to the one who's right. Well, here the victory came. You guys lost. So the people who won, according to your dua, they are the ones who are right. Still they didn't accept. Those who were dead already, Abu Jahl and the likes, were gone. But those who knew about this, they also rejected it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May He grant us a deep understanding. Brothers and sisters, sometimes you don't know you are wrong. And you are saying, oh Allah, destroy the one who is wrong. You are cursing yourself. Be careful. It's better to resolve matters in the dunya before we get to the day of judgment, when suddenly we find out we were the ones who were actually wrong, now in trouble. People are bold to say, I'll sort you out on the day of judgment. Have you heard that? I leave it for Qiyamah, and then they carry on. You don't know you're leaving it for Qiyamah. Qiyamah might come and you might be the one who's going to be jailed on that day. You might be found guilty. You might go to the wrong place. It will be too late. The hadith says, O children of Adam, O people, sort out your matters today before a day will come when your dirham and your dinar won't help you anymore. Sort your matters out today. No matter what the matter is, finish it up today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Don't be bold to say, I leave it for Qiyamah. Wallahi, wallahi, I leave it for Qiyamah. You might not know some detail that might be hidden in there, that might come out, that might make you a person who was the one who was guilty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Then we have a beautiful story of Abu Lubaba radiyallahu anhu. He was a man, and this man, he had some relation with the people of Banu Qurayza, the Jewish people of Banu Qurayza, and there was an incident where the Prophet ﷺ had surrounded Banu Qurayza for some time, and then they agreed that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu be the one who decide what should happen to them. But they said to Muhammad ﷺ, before we agree, we want to talk to Abu Lubaba. So Abu Lubaba ibn Abdul Munzir radiallahu anhu, he went to Banu Qurayza, he went inside and he spoke to them. And he was not meant to divulge any secrets of the Muslims, but by mistake, he divulged. What was the mistake? This narration is mentioned by Al-Wahidi and Al-Suyuti. It is a narration of Sa'id ibn Mansur, reported by Abdullah ibn Qatada. And he said, when the people of Banu Qurayza asked him, what is Sa'd ibn Mu'adh going to do? Is it okay for us to agree for Sa'd ibn Mu'adh to decide what should happen to us, Banu Qurayza? So he did this. He pointed with his finger at his throat, which means you people are going to be executed, court-martialed and executed, facing the firing squad, because you are war criminals. But he didn't speak. He only pointed with his finger. And verses were revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون.
Verse number 27, Surah Al-Anfal. O you who believe, do not attempt to deceive Allah and His Messenger, and do not breach your trust while knowing. Subhanallah. It is reported that Abu Lubaba heard the verse and he knew it was about him. And so he went to the masjid and he tied himself in Masjid al-Nabawi on a pillar. And he refused to release himself. And he said, I'm not going to eat until I'm forgiven by Allah and His Messenger. And he stayed in that condition for 7 days. And then he had fainted and so on. And he neither ate nor drank. And then when the people had told him that Allah has forgiven you, he said, no, I want to remain tied until Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes and releases this. And then Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and released him. Then he says, O Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have done something very bad, so I want to give a charity of my wealth. The wealth that I have through the same people, I want to give it out in charity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, give out only a portion, O Abu Lubaba. Today if you go to Madina Munawwara, in the Rawda, read the names on the pillars. There is one pillar, it is written on the pillar, Ustuwana to Abi Lubaba. The pillar of Abu Lubaba. It is reported that that is the place where this incident occurred. So the name is still there, Abu Lubaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness with us. We seek forgiveness of Allah. Sometimes we commit evil crimes and we haven't even sought forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same verse, there is another reason of revelation mentioned in Tafsir al-Tabari by Jabir radiallahu anhu. He says, when Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, before he was a Muslim, when Abu Sufyan had come out of Mecca, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam wanted to prepare to go and face him, someone sent a message to Abu Sufyan to tell him this is what the Muslimin are doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the same verses, do not attempt to deceive Allah and His Messenger and to breach your trust when you know, don't do that. So this was a clarification, a beautiful clarification of these particular verses. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to fulfill our trust. When people have entrusted us, hold it. When people have trusted you with their secrets, with their information, do not go and relate. Don't breach it. Learn to be a trustworthy, trustful person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open your doors. We have one more verse that I will speak about, although the time seems to have run out. But verse number 30 of Surah Al-Anfal, reported by Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, as well as Al-Tabari in his Tafsir, narration of Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, the eve of the Hijrah, the Mushrikeen gathered, and they wanted to plot against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did they say? Some of them said, let us ground him here in Mecca. Let us tie him down in Mecca. Some of them said, no, let's just kill him off. And some of them said, no, let's boot him out. Astaghfirullah. Let's send him packing. He can go out. Astaghfirullah. These are the haters. Those who hate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Na'udhu billah. They don't realize the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets, the highest in rank of existence, subhanallah. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here you have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot play a game with this Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam informing Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the details of the discussion that these people are planning, either to hold you down or to kill you or to send you out. But they have planned and Allah has planned, and Allah is the best of planners. So what we want you to do this evening, you don't sleep in the bedding. Let Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu sleep in the bedding. You sleep out. You can go out into the cave and inshallah you commence the hijrah. That was the plan of Allah. They didn't know this. So Allah revealed verses later on in Madina Munawwara. These verses, according to some of the books of tafsir, they were revealed later on, reminding Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you remember the favor of Allah upon you? Do you remember what happened to you? وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Do you remember when those people had planned to either hold you down or to kill you or to send you out, to drive you out? They were planning. Allah had planned. And Allah is the best of planners. Look, he was already in Madina Munawwara. Brothers and sisters, This is the protection of Allah. For those of His worshippers who are pious, for those of His worshippers who are striving to earn His pleasure, let us become from those who repent to Allah tonight. Tonight is a powerful night of forgiveness. It is a night of Ramadan. Turn to Allah. Cut your bad ways. Promise Allah that you are never going to return to haram. Allah has opened your doors. Don't you remember where you were a few years back? Look at where you are today. Look at the goodness Allah has bestowed upon you. Thank Allah for it. A way to thank Allah is to ask Allah's forgiveness and to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through obedience by the will of Allah. The day someone plans to harm you, in fact, through that same plan, Allah will grant you victory. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us victory in the dunya and the akhirah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.